Hello and welcome to episode 138 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is Fat Asian and I play Convergence of Sirius and I have some Cator Dojo today. I'm excited about
Cator.
This is our town scrub.
This is Crump and I play Sergal. Oh, dang it! Oh, wait, restart. Restart.
What?
Restart!
This is Keith.
God. Dang it! I was supposed to say, yeah, beat it!
Grixen in the Convergence.
I am Colin. I play Scorn and Signar.
All right, Chad,
just for Trevor.
And Chad, we'll fix it next time, and you'll say, attend me, Squire. And then I'll say, ready, sir. Yep. Okay.
It's too late.
Dang it.
The moment's passed.
This list is amazing.
Or you could say, we're ready, master.
Yes, my lord.
I'm not ready.
So I think in our next episode, actually, we have Colin on here. Do you guys want to do your, we can do our list builders? Is that what we call it?
No. List busters.
Which sounds like I'm about to kick down a door and like shock. I don't know why. That's just.
It needs to be Mojo Dojo.
No, that doesn't fit.
We can do list busters. I like that. We can do.
Dojo section, Mojo Dojo.
Mojo. I like the dojo chicken.
It doesn't fit with the chicken, though.
Yeah.
Also,
you can just imagine a chicken doing that.
I randomly started laughing last podcast because I imagined the Pagani, you know, chicken sound, and I was wondering why our listeners haven't photoshopped Pagani's head on a chicken yet.
Make it happen. Tossie. Go.
We haven't gotten the Pagani chicken out there.
What?
Have we talked about it a lot? Pagani. Oh, okay.
Pretty sure.
I don't think so.
No.
Do you guys even know what the Pagani chicken is?
When he came back from WTC, he talked about...
The Pagani.
Yeah.
The movement of Pagani, but not the Pagani chicken that happened when we were at the store.
I'm so confused. All right, let's start over, because this is bad.
All right, good. Yes, we get a chance.
Hello, and welcome to episode 138 of Muse on Minis.
Why are we starting over?
Musing and amusing!
This is Fat Asian, and I play Convergence of Sirius, Minions, and Protector of Menoth.
This is our town scrub.
Yeah, beat it. You didn't have any oomph in it that time.
Yeah, whatever. This is Chad.
We're not doing another oomph.
This is a token.
This is Keith, and I play Crix in the Convergence.
This is Colin. I play Scornin's Signar.
Now that you've listened to that twice, since that's how our editing process works, let's jump right into our list busters, where we're going to talk about some lists that were submitted to us. And this time we actually played two of those lists against one another.
And I also played a game with
which
them.
Normally we would call a cripple fight, but in this case...
Two pretty good lists.
I determined that the Crix list was of high enough quality to be played as per normal.
Did you say the name of the section? I forgot.
List busters.
Okay, good. Yeah. Lance, will you please edit in, one, make Keith sound like he's a monster truck announcer, and then two...
List busters!
And then two, add an explosion sound and like... That's how this segment needs to start every time.
Welcome to List Busters!
There it is. We already have it.
Just explosion in.
I doubt the mics.
Oh, background jokes are the best.
But no, that was pretty funny.
Actually, the worst. Do you guys want to start?
I'm going to want to swear so much in this segment from now on, because instead of saying gangbuster is expletive, I just want to say list busters. Never mind.
Do you guys want to start with your game, or you want me to start with mine?
Go ahead.
I got to play Circle Dave. I rolled him over. That was it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Go. Oh, my God.
He made me promise not to blow to gloss over it, so... I don't know why he did that, because now I can't talk about the game.
I will.
Now
the
user that submitted that list is getting collateral damage.
We can actually legitimately talk about it. Did anybody watch the game that I played?
Mm-hmm.
So did Keith.
So we played a matchup. I played. I decided before looking at matchup or anything, I wanted to play the Thrios list that was posted.
I was asleep through part of it. But.
Right.
It's okay. I was there. It was confusing because all of the models were proxied with Merc models, but.
I was not confused at all. Anyway, I was playing the Thrios list. It was, from memory, Vengers, or full Vengers, full Idrians, plus UA, mm-hmm. Choir.
Vassal Book.
Nicaea Rax.
And then the Jacks were Reckoner, Repenter, Fire Salvation.
Do you remember who submitted the list?
I don't. Let me look it up.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah. That list.
Oh, he'll know.
Or she. Well, no.
Yeah, I know, but it's I like to give credit where it's due.
Mm,
anyway,
so he played against. While you're looking at him, I'll just tell you what Dave was playing. Dave played Morvana too.
Yeah,
this was
legitimately a bad matchup for me.
Aren't they all?
No, this was legitimately. if I say legitimate bad matchup, it's different than just saying bad matchup.
It was a soccer.
No, it's not.
This is the exact same.
It's really not.
His list is soccer, Gorax, Shifting Stones plus UA, a black clad Wayfarer, full druids, that is including the unit attachment, full blood trackers plus Nuala, skinwalkers plus whatever their unit attachment is called. And that's where Alpha came in. Got it. I knew it came from somewhere. And two Gallus Groves. And that is his list. So.
Hey, yep.
Before this was actually submitted by Thomas Fisher 7. Pretty cool.
Thomas Fisher the 7th.
Sure. Or maybe.
Just kidding.
Maybe he was just the 7th Thomas Fisher to register on some forum a long time ago.
on the Muse forum.
probably the 7th Thomas Fisher on Gmail. Anyway, moving forward, first impressions on the list. I really like a lot of it. The only thing I was mildly worried about was Warpath triggers. I really, at least in all the lists that I've played with Kraos, I've really liked having a Redeemer.
Did he give you any idea of what the list was targeted towards?
No.
Because I would have some concerns with that list against a number of matchups where, like, faster melee forces being particularly problematic, because the list is a little light and it isn't particularly hardy.
Right. That was my biggest, actually, concern coming into the matchup with Epic Morvana, in that I have a very expensive unit of Vengers with a pretty low model count, and then Idrians are extremely expensive per model, too. So Morvana often turns into an attrition war. And it's a lot harder to win an attrition war, particularly when she's got blood trackers, because blood trackers are actually straight up awful for Idrians and awful for Avengers both.
When every singular model in his army is worth half as much as every singular model in your army, and probably kills them on a 1-for-1 basis,
or better.
Yeah, from the list,
you can't do better than anyway.
Yeah, at the list construction standpoint, it seems like you're kind of. You got a list with a bit of a glass jaw, and you're kind of sticking your jaw out front.
Why are Avengers?
What's that?
Sorry, why are Avengers inherently bad against Blood Trackers?
Blood Trackers just tear them up because they out-threat them, and then they like a full unit of Blood Trackers kills like 2 to 3 Avengers easily.
It's dice minus 8 after they've armored up.
Yeah.
So you probably kill one
with rerolls. Like I could reasonably see the entire unit going down.
I think you kill 2 to 3 on average pretty easily.
Wait. With rerolls?
I think you probably kill the first one.
If
like,
they're
right.
Yeah, the first one just dies.
If they're prayed.
If they're prayed, yes.
Well, yeah, you just have to choose. But if he chooses either unit, I'm in trouble. And the problem is, particularly for Idrians, so let's take the Avengers off the discussion table for a second and talk about Idrians versus Blood Trackers. Blood Trackers can move up, shoot Idrians, and then reform back. And if they kill the Idrians that they shot, it's very, very difficult for me to move up and get in range to shoot them, and they'll be out of charge range.
It's Blood Trackers versus ranged unit that isn't Arcane Tempest Gun Mages.
Right. So they just win.
Usually.
Right. So
Effing Gun Mages.
Yeah.
Effing Blood Trackers.
No, I would feel a lot. I would feel a lot better.
Oh,
about
they actually lose the Winter Guard. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. I would feel a lot better with the list if I had at least. In my comfort zone, a Redeemer, because you can reach out and touch those Blood Trackers early. And I tend to like Jacks that have reach or a gun, which I've covered. So the Fire of Salvation was something I was not looking forward to playing, because even though it's got a lot of neat tricks with Warpath and whatnot, I was kind of like, I don't know about this Jack.
Yeah.
But you learned something about it.
I did. I actually like it with Thrias a lot.
It goes forever and hits like a truck and is very accurate.
All of those things are true. My favorite part about it is you can actually get mileage out of the imprint. So the Fire of Salvation has an imprint where you spend a focus, then you get boosted melee attack rolls, and when you kill something, you get to make another attack.
Yep. It's
pretty good with Warpath, because you can kill, like, one or... my problem with it in the past is you spend a focus...
Yeah, without reach.
Yeah, you...
It gets you an attack, which is the same thing the focus gets you.
Exactly. And you're already mat 9, so the boosts are nice, I guess, so, yeah, whatever.
You can, like, punch Chaosies in the face?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, should. On normal dice?
Yeah. Pow. Yeah.
But with Warpath, you can... probably get three to four targets.
Yep.
Reasonably.
Yeah, and then you can bunch up. You can charge, hit something, you know, hit the other thing that you're engaged with, and then move, and then do your fist attack.
This is, that is dependent on being able to get to your first target without the Warpath, I guess.
Which he...
He has Righteous Vengeance,
yeah.
So
yeah.
He can definitely get there.
I think he can.
Yeah.
I like that. That combo a lot, actually.
That Righteous Vengeance is a full advance, right?
Yep.
So, and he's speed 5. Yeah. So he's got really out of the gate, 13 and a half?
Yeah, it's pretty
and
decent.
And then 16 and a half with a Warpath move, so.
And you can go behind lines and get, you know, digging deep and, or just, you know, clear two models that are 3 inches apart from each other. Yeah.
Right. Although, pro tip, you can clear models that are not in his bubble to not trigger Righteous Vengeance. If it's bad for you, you just kill other stuff. A lot of people I don't see take that kind of level of or take to that level of detail. But if I was playing against Fire of Salvation, I would just kill everything outside its bubble first. And then if I had extra attacks and I deemed that I didn't mind him getting an extra 5 inches of movement, I would give it to him. But I probably wouldn't give it to him if it was bad for me.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I don't really love that ability, because your opponent, it has a lot to do with what you're
doing. It's like all, it's just like regular Vengeance. It's an ability that is dependent upon what your opponent does. Although, you do have the added ability of dictating a punishment for killing certain solos.
Yeah, you're like, you want to kill Nicaea? Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah.
She's right there.
Or even if, like,
right there in front
your front line is within 5 inches of him, are you not going to kill his front line? Like... Seems bad.
Yeah. Or what if you put your entire army within 5 inches of him? Fixed it.
Yeah. Right.
What are they going to do? Not kill a model?
Yeah.
Idiots.
Hey. I've played Zol with Hakkar, and I've just had him in the middle of a bunch of Annihilators. It's like, well, you're going to have to kill Annihilator eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, and the only other thing I'll say about this list before I talk about my game with Dave is. When you play Idrians and Vengers together, you don't really have anything good to contest with besides Nicaea. She's a pretty good contesting piece, but...
Yeah, that was my original point. There's just nothing to put out front.
Yeah.
Everything's expensive and relatively easy to kill.
Yep.
That's the only problem in construction that I see.
Yep. I agree. Yeah. But I did like how the list played. So, spoiler alert, I ended up winning that game because I'm lucky. A little bit, and because I outplayed Dave a little bit to scenario, I went first, and we were playing Three Flags, SR 2013 style, and I set the line of engagement, and a lot of people that were watching my game, I think, were kind of wondering what I was doing with my Idrians, but I ran them forward the first turn to give him charges with the
blood trackers,
because if he charges into my guys with the blood trackers, I can Warpath the Repenter up, and then walk and kill Nula. And get rid of Reform Forever, which completely changes that matchup.
Which gives you at least a fighting chance.
It gives me a fighting chance in that matchup. So, and my theory was, okay, I'm giving away Idrians, because I straight up gave him away, because I put him right in his charge range. But I also went to ground with him, so that he couldn't shoot them, and then back up.
Yeah, so the quick works wouldn't be effective either.
So the quick works wouldn't be effective, and so that he would have to charge if he wanted to do anything. So that was the situation, and then I gave him to him. So he charged in. In order for, you know, them to be in command of Nula, then they were going to be... I was going to be able to spray her. There just wasn't anything he was going to be able to do about that. So I ended up trading, trading more of the Idrians than I thought I was going to, because he rolled pretty good dice and got the Lord of the Feast in there as well. But he ended up killing 5 Idrians, I think. And then I turned around and killed 5 or 6 Blood Trackers.
He could have kept Nuala safe.
Nula.
Whatever. So long as he just wouldn't have been able to kill, like, the Idrian that was on the far left flank that he decided to go for. Because he could have clumped the unit into, like, a shallower, or, like, a smaller area
I think I still kind of got the spray there because I didn't have to move my Repenter. He got to aim at Nula.
Yeah.
After the Warpath move, so I could have moved another 5 inches forward. Like, it would have been really hard for him to hide her. I think. You never know, though. It didn't play out that
Outplayed.
Way. Outplayed. I'm not saying it.
I'm sorry, Dave.
It wasn't that he was completely outplayed. I gave him a choice, and he took the choice that was available to him, which was kill a bunch of Idrians, because he couldn't really shoot him, and he couldn't really waste their activations because he didn't have anything else to shoot at. So it was sort of, do something, right? And then he's got more Vana's feet, so I don't blame him for doing what he did either. Because he's going to bring the guys that he loses, he's going to bring back.
Yeah.
So I think it's a positive play for him.
Yeah. The only reason I might question that play is because of the way his list was constructed. Like I'd be 100% on board with that play if those were tough and undead.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be even more annoying.
But there was no Witch Doctor in his list, so that makes it a little bit more questionable as to how that's going to play out.
Yep.
I might have just hung back outside of what Idrians are speed 6.
They are.
So I might have. Oh, but they have prey too. So you have to hang out outside of 12 inches? No, just at 10. A little over 10.
10 and a half. No, you have to be 11 and a half away.
11 and a half away. Yeah. 11 plus away.
Yep.
Just try to hang outside of their walk and shoot range or put a couple in.
Yeah, so the other reason. So the second part of my plan was I either draw in charges. Or you do it your way and you back up a little bit or don't come forward, which puts me in a really strong position for scenario play.
Yep.
So that was a situation I was trying to create because it was a bad matchup. I mean, there was just nothing I could do because I couldn't touch those blood trackers at all. So I either had to get them to come forward, so I gave them some juicy stuff to charge, or I get hosed. Because if they spend all game moving up, shooting, and reforming... Like, they just chew my whole army to pieces, and there's not a lot I can do about it. But the pivotal turn on that game, so the flag where the Idrians and the Blood Trackers were playing disappeared, so it didn't end up mattering, and both units broke. It was actually kind of comical, because we killed half of each unit, and they both failed their command checks, so they just stood there and looked at each other like, well, we're not fighting over a flag anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But where Dave made the critical error in the game was he moved his skinwalkers in.
He countercharged your storm wall with his bronze back.
No, that was a crucial error.
Man, I want a bronze back with circle. That'd be
pretty good. But no, he put his skinwalkers in the middle of the board to contest the middle flag, and he had them set up in such a way I think he felt like they were pretty safe.
He had two of them behind a wall. That was approximately 4 inches back from the middle flag.
And then he also had the other four in the general area.
In that area.
From what I saw with Warpath movements and some mildly aggressive gambits, you were able to get them all. And your dice didn't need to go over the top to do it. They just had to be consistent.
I don't know if you saw that. I feeded with Kriaz that turn.
Okay.
I also ignited the Vengers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I death sentenced the Skinwalkers.
Oh, I did not know about the death
sentence. The death sentence made it a way better.
So you just needed those consistent dice because there was a couple of attacks over the wall that I saw that made. They were like needed sevens or eights or something like
sevens.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had a Reckoner on two, but he had extra focus.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I just didn't know about the death sentence. That makes it very likely.
Yep.
So just keeping one of those hung back. The only other thing that I would mention, I mean, the game played out. You ended up winning on scenario. I kind of cascaded past the point with the skinwalkers. The only other thing I saw that I might note for Dave is that the druids were not active in the game.
I kind of caught him because that's the other thing too, is I ran the book first turn. Be counter to the druids, and then I jam the book right into their face.
I really don't
with no spells.
In the deployment phase of that game, if I was him, I would have probably because
the druids need to be in the middle.
Idrians do not have hunter, right?
They do not.
So I would have deployed the druids across from them, and the trackers across from the Vengers,
and just have the overseer bombard them
because
with devourings.
He saw where you put your book. So like,
yeah,
before he deploys, because he had the druid UA.
Yep.
So he gets to know where your book goes before he deploys the druids.
Especially without Tough and Undead for the Blood Trackers. It puts the Idrians versus Blood Trackers in question rather than being like 100% locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Overseer is centrally located or even closer to that side, like a couple Devourings will lock that all the way up.
Yeah.
Like so three, four Idrians going into a Devouring would be the ball game there.
And then on the turn that I killed all of his skinwalkers, I had both my jacks brought forward and my avengers. So basically baiting out the Warpwolf. Like the Warpwolf had to get involved, mm-hmm. and it was going to be some place where I could kill it with whatever he didn't kill, because he couldn't kill everything.
So talk about the list more generally instead of like in a matchup, because this discussion is very specifically germane
right.
to the specific fight that you played against.
Right. So I think in SR 2013 and moving into SR 2014, you have to have elements that you can contest with that you don't care if they get killed. And then you also...
Or at least provoke meaningful trades.
Right. Yeah, right.
Which cavalry doesn't do is always my biggest problem with cavalry models.
Yes.
Is their offensive output can be like off the charts. Like Storm Lances, given the right circumstances, can earn back... double their points.
Right.
They can do that. A lot of cavalry models can do that. But they never can do that by going and sitting and getting hit first. Like, even the Tuffalos can't really do that in most situations.
No, when Tuffalos get hit first, it sucks.
Because yeah. cavalry models just by their...
Mm.
The
point
way they're,
cost.
Yeah. By their point cost, armor, and health, they just don't... They don't trade well.
You're like,
that
that's five really easy to kill heavies. Doing it. So.
Yep.
You can play heavies. Most of them do.
And I'm not trying to pick on Dave. The other big mistake he made is when he feeded with Morvana on the turn after I scored two, he didn't place his guys to contest all over the place. He sort of kept them in the back so I wouldn't kill them all. And he didn't leave enough stuff to contest the two flags that I just won on scenario.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought that game, how I would have played it out, would have been a lot differently. It was a game that it was clear to me Morvana feeding was not going to put her back in the game, which is really weird. Because, like, normally, like, oh, is Morvana feeding it? Oh, well, this game's wrapped up. But, like, feeding wasn't going to do enough. Because you could have just killed all the stuff. Because you were so far ahead on scenario that you could have just killed the stuff and been like, yep, now deal with my army again.
Yep.
So, like, it was weird. I would have probably actually just charged Morvana in and put quite a bit of damage on a heavy and then, like... knocked it down and then, like, have the way, and then at the stalker finish off your two heavies. Because one of them had already taken damage before.
Yeah.
Like, he could have pretty easily killed both of the heavies.
If he had committed Morvana, he could have killed both of my heavies.
Right.
Yep.
So, that was...
And I'm not sure I would have had a reprisal, to be very honest.
Yeah. So, and I was maybe, like, damaging some of the Avengers with, like...
I did have Kreos positioned so that I could charge the Warpwolf if it came into my heavies, though. So,
Kreos is sitting right next to Morvana.
Yeah, so I might have been able to get her.
I've seen that play before. Colin killed Kreos.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, knock down. Kill you.
What? I did that?
No.
Colin Hill.
Smart Colin.
Chill.
Chill?
Anyway, let's just go back to talking about the list. I mean, the game was interesting. I thought it was an interesting game. I felt really outmatched in the way the lists were designed. But... I just had a little more experience playing for scenario, so
yeah.
Kreos has enough tools in his toolbox to get him a game in a lot of situations. I'm worried that that based on the list construction, I don't think there are a lot of favorable matchups out there for this list.
I think John's,
that's just right up John's wheelhouse.
John's suggestion for the list change was obviously the scenario piece. I think he said he was going to what he would do would cut the Idrians and replace them with TFG and a Redeemer.
I like TFG a lot for him. Holy Warded and TFG are...
So what did you like about the list?
I actually really liked the Fire of Salvation, and it surprised me. Because it actually created a situation where one of the main reasons why I was able to dig out all of his skinwalkers was I got the Fire of Salvation in, killed one, and then was able to warpath forward and kill another one. And... I wouldn't have been able to do that otherwise. I mean, I could have done that with any heavy, I guess. But I just felt like the power 20, the one additional power, was kind of a big deal. The mat 9, it just felt a little easier.
How about the Guardian?
There was no Guardian.
There was no Guardian. Oh, no, so you were talking about something else.
There was a Reckoner.
There was a Reckoner, Repenter, Yeah.
Fire Salvation.
And so to change it, you would try and take out one of the expensive units and replace it with a more...
Right, and then add something else. Mm-hmm. The only problem with adding in... Actually, it made me think a lot about Chaos 3 in general. And I mean, I'm not trying to say that I would play a completely different list, because I would definitely try the Fire of Salvation, because I like that Jack a lot, and it gives you a dispel, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would put a Templar on the list as well and go, because...
The heck would you cut?
What's that?
Reckoner.
The Reckoner, probably. The Reckoner? Yeah. Okay. Because now I'm adding an Armor 21, another good scenario piece, because it's Armor 21, and then it gives you... Since you're going to be committing the Fire of Salvation, like...
Yeah, you can't do the batter up.
Yeah, you just got to... Sometimes you have to commit both, or have something else that can go in, or the Templar can go in first, and the Fire of Salvation can come in and clean up, or the Fire of Salvation... I think they work really well in tandem together. I love Beatback, and Beatback plus Warpath just sounds really, really fun.
It does.
Getting places.
4-inch move after killing something.
Yeah, that can surprise people.
It would...
Yeah, because you trigger Beatback and Warpath off of killing one guy, and then you just like move another 4 inches and say, "Hey, surprise! What's up?"
Also, it's the same. It's the Fiora Templar, basically, because he has Ignite as well. So it's a bit of the old Power 21.
One less focus.
21!
21!
Yeah, one less focus, but you also might not have to charge with a Warpath move, so...
Would you... I was thinking, and you didn't mention this, but maybe if you were going to cut the or if you were putting TFG in, I was thinking... Gravis might have some validity in that list, because now there's souls for him to get. Right, because he collects any soul, right?
Only Exemplar? It's only Exemplar.
He's just like, only souls of knights are mine. Screw you, anybody else.
Reclaimers are a good addition to his list, especially if you add Templar.
No, I was just thinking, because like the...
Yeah, like a Reclaimer, some TFG. I like the Redeemer for triggering Warpath, although it does put a little bit more of a focus burden on you. But it's a little bit different list, though. Maybe Rupert, then you can give Pathfinder to both Avengers or the TFG.
What?
And then you also have Tough No Knockdown, Holy Ward at TFG, or kind of a Holy Terror.
They could be Def 18 versus charges.
So, I mean, I need to massage the list and kind of move the points around and figure out exactly what I want to do. The other thing I'm considering is, along with the Templar, is a Guardian, because I think it's actually pretty strong with him, because he's got a very good spell list. And having...
The old Re-Guardianer.
Having Force Hammer on the table, off an Arc Node...
And Crevasse.
Yeah. Is a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then also being able to Death Sentence, because that spell's just really strong.
His feat's not... Epic Veil's feat, right? Like he only gets to recast his upkeeps.
Right, yeah.
So he can't.
But he gets the purification first.
Right. It's enemy only purification.
Yeah, that'd be really awkward.
So does she, right?
Is it enemy only purification?
Yeah.
I didn't play it right, so.
I think it is, but it usually doesn't matter because he casts his upkeeps for free anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. That's good.
I do like fire.
Good discussion.
It was a really fun list. I think that was my first game with 3S.
Like, that Jack is a lot of rules for 9 points, and like its rules are pretty relevant.
No reach, no gun.
If only we all had
I'm
that
with you,
mother
John.
Effing blessing.
God. I actually liked it in that list.
I feel for you so much as a troll player. No reach, no gun. It just must be hard for you to ever play anything without reach and without a gun.
The only things I ever see you play are Mulligan Bombers.
Jesus Christ. if you play...
Yeah, that's...
I'm not sure you have room to talk.
He plays Earthborns.
Occasionally, for the armor buffs.
Yeah, Pyre, Storm, Impaler is my wheelhouse, man.
Yeah.
Those all have guns.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about your guys'...
I also played a Pimp My List.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I missed that.
Yesterday versus Beery. Beery loose. So, who wants to go?
I guess we'll go.
Okay.
Because you gave me that weird ass stare. Oh, not. No, I didn't say that. Word prompt stare.
So I'm gonna go. I played. I was playing against one of our local Signar players who's been out of the game for a little while. He wants to try and get back in, and he was playing a bit of the old double Stormwall. Haley 2.
Delightful.
And I noticed that the first, like, eight million Troll Blood lists that were submitted were all Grim 2, and I was like, nope.
You know, it's more fun than Double Stormwall. Double Prime Axiom.
God dang it. You know, I thought you were going to say Triple Earthbreaker.
No, God.
That
no.
sounds amazing.
My job in that. Every podcast is to divert into Convergence Doja, not divert into crappy Searforge talk.
All right,
anyway,
all right, continue.
I love Carrier Group. Go on.
Anyway, I was not going to play Grim 2. I was not going to play any of the Grim 2 lists against Epic Haley list because it just seems like a recipe for disaster. I mean, the point of the games that we're playing is to not
play bad matchups.
Not play bad. I don't know. It seems like a bad matchup to me.
Yeah.
Because most Grim lists are pretty heavily invested in shooting, and I can't think of a list that does not care about shooting as much.
Yeah, Haley seems, double Stormwall.
It seems difficult to
Haley
kill double Stormwall. Stormwalls.
So, I actually just went with the first list that I found that wasn't...
That wasn't Grim 2.
Grim 2.
You're like, Grim 2.
And
Grim,
it ended
Grim,
up being...
Nope.
Slap Happy Sid's Borka list, which is a list that's sort of after my own heart. I have to give props for that. I think that I would
saw Warders on the table.
A little differently, but... the full list is Borka, the battle group is Mauler, so that's the whole battle group, Dire Troll Mauler. It has the minimum Creel Stone with UA, full unit of champions with Scaldi, full unit of Fenblades with UA, two units of Warders, and a Fellcaller, and that is the entire list. So the way that this is different from like a list that I would normally play is I've never played champions without the hero before, so that was... Actually ended up being something that kind of screwed me up during our game a little bit because I...
Couldn't run through each other.
But I was playing them such that they could. So I was... Like, I have this really specific formation that I usually run with my champions where Scaldi's in the back, protected. Whereas he wants to probably be... Like, you want to run them in... You want to run them in triangles if you don't have a hero. And you want to have Scaldi generally be in the front so that he can countercharge and, you know, be board denial that way. And it's a less safe countercharge and it's not as good because they just target Scaldi then, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure I care much for the champion unit without Scaldi, or without the hero.
I agree. I don't like them at all, I think, actually, without the hero. It ended up not mattering that much because just the way that the scenario was set up, it was... I can't remember the name of it. It was just two big circles.
Outflank.
Sure. And so the way that it was set up, he basically had to have one Stormwall going into one zone and the other Stormwall going into the other zone. And I'm not sure I agree with that. When I sat down, I was like, this might be... Because I deliberately played a list that was not a bad matchup for me, but I might have chosen a list that was a terrible matchup for him.
Yeah.
Because of Windwall and High Armor, guys that don't really care about Stormwall guns as much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I can just imagine Billy taking that really well, too.
He doesn't think it was as bad for him, and it might not have been. Like, I might have been assessing it poorly. But because Haley's scenario play is so hard to stop anyway.
Yeah.
But the way he ended up playing it was sending one Stormwall into one zone and one Stormwall into the other zone. So I had my champions and Fenblades going for one zone, and my two units of Warders go for the other zone, and the Borka was just up the middle. So he could go to either. And then ended up the things about the list that I noticed were the way that he designed the list and the way that he talked about it was he wanted to have the Fenblades go up first and then just be a jam. And then the champions were going to come in as the second wave. And then, you know, late after that, the Warders can come in with the feet and, like, really get in there. The feet speeds them up a little bit, you know. So they can, you know, come in and be the third wave, and then the entire time Borka is just tossing Mauler Animus wherever he needs to, and just, you know, putting Iron Flesh out to make whatever units harder to kill. And the way that it ended up playing out was a bit different because the minimum Creel Stone made it a little bit harder, and then also just the fact that I was playing against such a gun heavy list, I basically was forced to cast Windwall every single turn, and so that also made it harder to do everything that I wanted to do.
Is he Fury 5?
He's Fury 5, but he's basically Fury 7, because the K-Carrier tops him off and gives him +2.
Oh, okay.
He's Fury 7 with a 10-inch control.
He's Fury 7 with a 10-inch control, and it's also contingent of you being within 5 inches of the K-Carrier.
Yeah.
Which is kind of annoying, because he's speed 6, but the K-Carrier is speed 5. So you have to slow him. He has to slow himself down, usually, to keep up with it. But
being handicapped.
So I was casting. He won the role to go first, which ended up being big because I was not. I was only able to put 4 Fury into the Creel Stone, and then I just was having such a hard time. Even a minimum Creel Stone, I was having such a hard time keeping it full and keeping it relevant. So that I basically had to just choose. It's either can follow around the warders or the champions, but it can't get both. And I mean that's the way that it was going to be, regardless of scenario, anyway. But or regard because of the scenario, that's the way it was going to be, regardless of you know. How much fear I could get into it anyway.
Yeah.
But, so I ended up having it follow around the warders, and it just wasn't, it was just, it felt clunky. Like, I don't know. And maybe it was because of the matchup, because I had to cast Windwall so often, and maybe it's because I just didn't, it wasn't big enough, or I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And then also I was talking about the list just had a very small amount of support in it, generally.
Some more business?
Kind of. Because it's just Fenblades, 2 units of warders, champions, and myself.
Was it business that actually, like, was the list hindered because it didn't have the support, though?
I'm not sure. I think, because it was weird because he ended up charging in his Stormwall into my warders,
yeah.
His non-bonded Stormwall. So it was the non-arcane shielded one. And then I had 8 warders around it and a Mauler within range of it. It's like, so that Stormwall's just going to die.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's like no force on the planet can stop me from killing that Stormwall. And then I have a zone all to myself. And I can just dominate that zone forever with Iron Flesh, Borka, or warders or whatever, like, you know, guarding it. And there's nothing he can do about it. He still could have ended up, I feel like, winning on scenario. Because Haley's Haley.
Yeah.
He just has to run, you know, he has to basically drop a pod into my zone with the other Stormwall.
Yeah,
keep contesting, and then, you know, he can clear out the other one so easily because the champions are only armor 16 or 18.
Yeah.
And if they're 18, I mean, Stormwall can kill multiple of them, like, easily.
So just, you think maybe if he pushes through one zone and just clears it out and then pushes into the next, he would have had a better game, maybe?
I think if he had concentrated both Stormwalls on one zone.
Yeah.
And then had just focused on, like, basically deciding that he was going to give up one zone. He also made a mistake with his feet. Because he had Haley just sort of walk forward and catch my front 3 units with her feet. And then he killed a Fenblade with a Gunmage. And I got to Vengeance outside of the feet so that I could run.
Ah.
So the feat basically just all his feat did was it got a single unit of warders and my unit of champions. And so, but they were already where I wanted them to be because they were all I needed for them was to be in a zone.
Yeah.
And then the Fenblades got to run instead of just making their walks. And they got to be much more relevant because they were screening, you know, the champions and everything and stopping his Stormwalls from charging in, on that turn. But I think if he had just doubled up his Stormwalls in one zone and then popped his feet much more aggressively to get my entire army, like have Haley like TK and charge instead of just walk.
Yeah.
I think it's everything and stops me from doing anything because I can't kill him with that list on her feet. And then he can do the... And then he can just really like aggressively like, you know, next turn there's nothing I could... You know, next turn he would basically have had to kill... 5 champions and like 5 Fenblades to clear a zone out, which 2 Stormwalls and a unit of gun mages with Deadeye can easily do.
Or just push the stuff out that they fail to kill. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's also got TK if there's like stuff being really like annoying. And
yeah, that's all right.
And then he can drop pods into the other zone from a million inches away because Stormwalls are really fair.
and balanced.
But... I'm still talking about matchup specific or, you know, game specific stuff, battle reports sort of stuff. But in general, I like the list. Like I said, it's a list that I would like to play. I think the problem with this list in general, though, sort of, is just that it's too similar to Family Reunion.
Yeah, my question was going to be what makes this more desirable to play than Family Reunion?
Warders, yo.
Warders are nice. But I'm not sure that they're that much better than champions. And
especially when you're losing out on the Boomhowlers.
You're losing out. Yeah. When you're trading the Boomhowlers for Fenblades, oh my god, Fenblades are so much easier to kill. I mean, I was just thinking, because his Gunmages, you know, he just dead-eyed them one turn, and then my Fenblades just evaporated.
Yeah.
That was the turn after he feated, you know, and I got to run them all forward, and I'm like, well, at least the Gunmages are killing my Fenblades instead of shooting my champion, like, you know, thunderbolting my champions out of the zone or whatever.
And you're like, huh, four up tough, feign deathing, iron fleshed Boomhowlers would probably be a little better in this situation.
I was thinking about that, and I'm like, so he killed all the Fenblades down to three, and I'm like, there probably would have still been six or seven Boomhowlers.
Yeah.
Yeah, if not all 10, because they're also armor 18.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably would have been all 10.
Oh, man.
Well, if you could get the Stone Aura on all of them.
So
right.
To
that
sum it up,
sound like that was a trouble for that game, though.
To sum it up, your list is bad, and you should play Family Reunion.
I like the... No, kidding. I'm summing it up. Like, I like the list. I just don't think that it is distinct enough from Family Reunion, and it is not better than Family Reunion, so I think that you probably should just play Family Reunion.
It's Family Reunion's a little bit different, right?
Yeah, it has
but not a
iron
lot.
Fleshed...
it's not that much. I mean, the version of Family Reunion that I played is basically not different at all.
Same battle group. Ten plus medium base infantry models that the weapon master variety.
Yeah, it's just
the champions, and then a unit of single wound troops out front to screen. It sounds like the construction, the general construction of the lists is very, very similar.
It's almost identical because it's the same. Like you said, it's the same battle group. One jamming unit, so Fenblades versus
Boomhowlers.
And it's not just Boomhowlers, it's advanced moving, feign deathing Boomhowlers. Because this list doesn't have a Chronicler, and the Family Reunion does.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's...
You had a Fel'Kalar in this
I did version? Have a Fel'Kalar.
So that's the main difference, I would say, is the greater possible accuracy that exists in this list that doesn't exist in Family Reunion.
Yeah, and so that ended up not really being important in the game that I was playing, and so if I was playing a different matchup, like, that might have been much more relevant, having Mat 9 champions or Mat 9 warders.
Also, in the later game, a unit of warders is more self-sufficient than small pods of champions are.
Agreed.
So, small pods of champions dissolve very quickly once they've lost a member or are forced to break up, whereas the warders can maintain their structural integrity a little longer.
Warders also control more board space.
Right.
So I mean, that's the main difference, is just that I have... Because it's one jamming unit. It's a Mauler, one jamming unit, and then 15 medium-based weapon masters.
I think there's definitely room to be explored for Borka with warders, but...
I agree.
That's the direction I'm headed in. So
I would just like to see, like we were saying... Sorry to interrupt again. I would just like to see the list, the general composition of the list be more dissimilar from the Family Reunion archetype, I guess.
I'm thinking as a screen, like, I've been, this would go into more general dojo, so we don't have to stay too long on it, but I really like the warders with him just because, iron flesh on them is ridiculous, and then his feet sort of help their main weakness is just their speed, and so he can...
Yep.
Give them the 11-inch threat that they need. You can put them in the back of a zone and still clear out the zone.
Yeah.
You know, on his feet turn. It's just sort of what to get after that, which I'm not sure of. You know, I've been kind of liking the idea of jamming burrowers, running up and engaging everything and then getting iron flesh.
And I don't hate Fenblades with him because they do go like a mile and a half.
Yeah, 15.
I might question whether or not warders and Fenblades belong in the same list with him, because I kind of feel like if you're taking Fenblades, you're planning on getting the Alpha Strike with them rather than screening with them.
Right.
You're intending to jam with them rather than screen. So then the feat won't be available for the warders because you'll blitz to get the.
So you're thinking more like a Tuffalo.
If you're gonna go fast, I would say if you're gonna go fast. Put more fast elements in the list.
Yeah.
Put burrowers, put scouts, put...
Yeah.
Something Tuffalo, something else fast. And I don't know how that list works out or if it ends up being good. But, and then if you're going to plan on using the feat to make warders viable, like, brick up a little bit more. Two sets of warders, maybe a little bit more of a battle group. Full stone.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm sorry if we changed the list too much or whatever, but
no, I think it's good discussion to have because like it's fair to point out that it's very much like a family reunion list without
Benefits. Which is just a known list that's been right. good for a while. So
I do like the Matt 9.
That's the one the big weakness of Family Reunion is that you don't get a Fel Collar. If you get a Fel Collar in Family Reunion, that's like the perfect list for trolls.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Really, really good. Or if you could take Warders.
Oh my god, if you could take Warders.
Yeah, Warders in Family Reunion.
It's like Warders instead of it saying
That was the champions. Main reason that we all hoped that Warders would be typed as champions.
Yeah. Trollkin like, champion Warders.
And then I thought about that.
Errata?
Like,
please.
Hopefully. So good.
Could happen.
7-point Warders.
That doesn't seem okay to me. I don't know.
So good.
I might be wrong, but that seems bad.
All right. Colin and I played a game. He was planning on playing a Mordekaiser list that was posted on there, and it was listed as targeting Krix. So I picked a Krix list out of the lineup that I felt was strong enough to represent a good versus Krix experience.
Yeah. Yes.
So it wasn't.
It was. It was not quite. I was.
What we should call this segment.
That's when you play two
of the same
of the. Yeah. So this is technically our first cripple fight. But I think we still get valuable information out of
it. So let's see. My list came from a guy named Miso Miso. Is that right?
Miso Miso.
Okay.
Miso Miso lady.
So first off, great name. but the list was, he says it's a counter to Krix and Purification casters, and the caster is Mordekaiser with a Mammoth Krio Raider, max unit of Annihilators, a max unit of Reavers with UA, main unit of Beast Handlers, Extoller, Willbreaker, and a Feral Geist.
The first thoughts on this list is I strongly question the efficacy of Mordekaiser as a versus Purification caster. He is like the Scorn shining example of takes it up the bum from Purification. I might rematch that against Morvana to see if I'm just way off base here.
I tend to agree.
Because he's got a million upkeeps.
He has a million upkeeps, plus you have a Kriya in the list.
And Hollow in particular is an upkeep that he kind of relies upon to tick. Like,
I feel like he could play without Hollow just fine.
It's possible. Yeah. Like he doesn't go completely dead. He still gets his two revives a turn, but then he's camping one.
So the problem is, Mordekaiser in a single turn wants to cast revives. He wants to cast, especially with this list build with Reavers in it, he also wants to cast Ghostwalk. Banishing Ward is also, he wants to have that out there, especially if you're going up against Krix. And Nick wants to say something.
Oh, no, I was just saying, would he be the best caster in the game if he only had 5 more focus?
No.
Fury?
No, that's still a risk.
It's still a risk. It's just like, the problem is, I want to cast this, and this, and this,
see,
and this.
The thing is, Mordekaiser really can cast all those things.
Sure.
Because Hollow.
It's turns where he has 14 Fury.
Yeah.
Sure. It seems, just the initial impression of the list, it seems, and maybe I'm just judging this wrong, but anti-Krix and then taking a Colossal or Gargantuan seems bizarre.
It seems off a little bit off-putting, but the reasons why the Mammoth works in this list, and I don't disagree with the Mammoth as an inclusion. I think there are other ways to go, but I don't necessarily disagree with the Mammoth inclusion, is because it has the Pie Plates, which are effective against, and it's power 8. Power 8 blast damage is effective against the majority of Krix models.
Sure.
On a Fury 5 Warbeast, you're like, launch a Pie Plate. I hit 3 Bane Thralls. Boost, boost, boost.
Right.
Launch another Pie Plate. We'll try to get some Mechana Thralls this time because I'm out of boosts.
And then you have a Willbreaker to help that.
For Puppet Strings, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And also, the second thing that makes it reasonable is you have Banishing Ward, which saves which saves it 3 armor.
Yep.
Which is
another reason why he's so strapped for focus in this list. So my first thing I said about this, and I still feel this way, it really needs Mordekaiser on the list.
Marketh.
Marketh.
Or Marketh, yeah. Of course it needs Mordekaiser in the list.
Mordekaiser list really needs more Mordekaiser.
But Marketh makes it easier if you're going up against Purification Caster, especially, just because you get to cast Hollow for free, and they have to spend 3 focus, so you're forcing them to spend 3 focus if they want to get rid of that, or Banishing Ward.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's really strong. And then he also like allows you to cycle Ghost Walk.
Yep.
Or cast it without taking away a revive.
As someone who hasn't paid actual focus for Ghost Walk for about 3 years, paying actual focus for Ofiri for Ghost Walk is crappy compared to not.
It's balls.
Yeah. It's a spell that it's a spell that you almost always can find a use for. Like you're like, it'd be okay to have Ghost Walk this turn, and sometimes it's amazing, and sometimes it's critical. So having it on a stick is pretty good.
It also solves order of activation issues, too.
Yes.
So he also asks later on in his post, because he goes through quite a bit about talking about the list. And I think the list is generally okay. I think maybe you want to pick between the Mammoth or the Reavers. Maybe not both.
What's the Mammoth's base def?
8. Oh,
dang it. I was hoping it would get up to 12, because that could be hilarious.
So what I thought about the list was you could take out the Reavers and the UA, so that takes out 11 points, and you could put in another unit of Nihilators and Marketh.
Don't like that.
You don't like that?
Taking out the Nihilators, if you're especially targeting the Crix matchup, taking out the Nihilators is going to be detrimental.
You mean taking out the Reavers?
Taking out the Reavers is going to be very detrimental.
You don't think the Mammoth just does enough work on his own?
No.
No.
And you don't think just Reaver, like, in my experience, Nihilators versus Crix is just fine.
Just right up until the Biothralls come in.
Okay, well that's
like the Reavers are there to because they can fight the Biothralls in a lot of matchups. Not necessarily against Asphyxius, but even then you can get a couple of them because you do have the Eyeless Sight option.
Yeah.
So the Mammoth can go fishing for the deep Biothralls while the Reavers do work with stuff that they can pick out around the clouds. Like this can play a game against Asphyxius. I'd be interested to see it because I think Asphyxius is favored in that matchup. But Hollow helps a lot with preventing Hollow plus Banishing Ward.
Yeah.
Then you can't excarnate.
No excarnate targets.
Like I have to go find a pain giver to get.
And your Mammoth can be sniped and see through clouds.
Yep.
So
yep.
He goes after the Biothralls. I like it a lot actually.
So,
although the feet can just remove the Mammoth.
The feet removes the Mammoth.
So he is wondering if it's a better option than Epic Hexie is.
I think so, actually.
You think
after playing against it? It looked really strong. It looked like fun to play.
Me and Keith played a game.
I'll talk a little bit about my list. I had not looked at his list beforehand. I didn't know exactly what it was. But I had seen a list on here that I liked for Crix, and I wasn't really in the mood to just pull out something I'd played a bunch of times before. So I grabbed, looks like it's Crimson with 2 Z's, his Warwitch Denegra list. So it's Denegra 1, and I made a minor alteration. There was a Scarlock Thrall and 2 Death Rippers, which I immediately swapped for Night Wretches, since I don't approve of Death Rippers.
The Death Rippers are the mighty mandibles.
Yeah, POW 13 sustained attackers, and I just take the POW 14 gunshots.
You don't like mighty mandibles?
They're okay. They can be used for a different purpose than I usually use my Arcanets for.
Put it in the battle box.
Yeah. there's an option, especially with Prime Asphyxius, to just have them eat heavies. They can do that. You just like boost them up to POW 18. Go eat a heavy. And they're like, all right. But Denegra can do that for one turn too, but
yeah.
Anyway. So actually, I might have been better off with the Death Rippers. So maybe I was wrong to do that, but I personally usually find the Night Wretch to be more effective. Anyway, so 2 Death Rippers, Scarlock, Master Gunner Dougal, Iacos, the Journeyman running a Leviathan, the Bane Cavalry, Satixis Raiders, plus UA, and Nis Hunters. So the things that he pointed out about the list is that it's very fast. The majority of the list is speed 7, because we got the Escorted Warjack, and Iacus walks and jumps. Like, he gets a long ways. The Nissunners are fast. The Raiders are super fast. The Bane Cavalry is fast. It's very quick. And it's got a lot. It's got a certainly quite a bit, a lot of firepower, a lot of guns in the list. My only initial concern upon looking at the list is I'm not sure that this is a strong fit for the Bane Cavalry.
I feel like they were shoehorned in to try them.
Yeah, I feel like this was looking for an excuse to play them. What I saw when I looked at the list is two units of living models, and when I see two units of living models, I want my Mechanithral engine, especially because it's Denegra. Like, because you don't want you've already got a list where it's a lot of not high value targets, with the exception of the Leviathan. Adding in the Bane Cavalry just gives just creates a focus point for high value attacks to come in.
Reckoner shots.
Have any high value attacks? Here's a place to get value out of them. Whereas in Crix, a lot of times you just don't give them that option.
You're just like,
that is
all shots. Nice. Yeah. Kill a Mechanithral.
Enjoy that. Yeah. You get a Mechanithral for your Power 15 gun. Come again, please. That I think is one of the greatest strengths of Crix.
Sure.
That's the playstyle that I embrace. So that's why I question the Bane Cavalry in this particular list. When I'm thinking about playing Bane Cavalry, I want to be able to protect them all the way until they get there. I want Epic Scar.
Wait,
or
doesn't one of the casters occultation? Have occultation?
Two of them. Epic yeah. Gorshade
does.
Does
both go short?
Epic no. Gorshade does, who Coven. Can also bring them back, Coven. Which I appreciate, and the Witch Coven, who has a feat to deliver to get them some mileage after they jam in.
Well, the Coven doesn't actually have occultation, right?
They do.
They straight up do. Yeah.
They have occultation. They also have Curse of Shadows. So does Gorshade, which is another spell that
that's funny.
Allows them to make their impact attacks, and even if they fail, be like, keep going.
It's pretty cool.
Just scoot right through them. Free strike without free strikes. So I don't think Denny 1 does a great deal for the Bane Riders, at least certainly not more than she does for anything else. And my opinion on Denegra has always been a volume. Like, she gives everything the same plus X value. So the more plus X's you get, the more value you're getting out of her. And Bane Cavalry don't have an exceptional number of attacks.
No, they don't.
So that was my only construction. My point. I love Iacos running the Leviathan in theory and hopefully in practice.
What's his spell? Escort and what else?
Escort and then Deathbringer. It gives him and his Warjacks Grievous Wounds.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
But it costs two and is not an upkeep. So.
Yeah.
That's okay. You just have to go up and plink their Warcaster and then you
just
kill him.
Or
Warlock.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Iacos is stealthy.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah, well, turns out all of them are pretty good.
They're all very good, but
even the red one that's the worst one and doesn't do anything cool still hands out 4-3 focus.
Yeah, it was actually really tilting in our game because I was like, oh well, I have the Reavers, I haven't minifeated yet, I'll just take him off the table. Oh wait, he's stealth.
Should have brought a poo handler.
I had one.
Oh, why don't you just shoot
only
him with poo?
One can get.
The one that's leading the huge CRA.
They all have to see through stuff.
Yeah,
they don't contribute.
Why not just aim with your Raider and shoot him in the face?
Otherwise,
from like 20 inches away, because that thing is like 20 inches away.
Why not give your Raider Eyeless? I don't know. I'm just saying, I feel like you probably could have shot him.
There was not an instance in that.
Revive Annihilator and then charge him.
Boosh.
That was never possible.
Kill...
Almost none of this was possible.
What about kill a Reaver, revive it?
So,
revive Annihilator, activate it, run it, activate Mark Mordekaiser again, and then Essence Blast it.
All right.
Yeah. See, there's the second Mordekaiser that comes in.
Yeah, it needs more Mordekaiser. Needs Mordekaiser.
Man. We're at an hour, so we either need to table the discussion or you guys need to move.
Okay. So our game, it actually went really well, I think, for my list. And I think the biggest flaw was I didn't play the scenario right.
The Mammoth ended up not making it to either of the scenario zones. We were playing
Rally Point.
Rally Point. And anytime you have a huge base in these scenarios, it really probably should make it to a zone. It should be in a zone at some point. Almost all times during the game. Because it's just too many of your... It's too much of your army that's not involved in the game.
In contesting.
I made a mistake early in, turn one, where I teleported the objective on my side in front of my Mammoth, not thinking about how I can't get Mordekaiser there next turn. Or I could, but But then he would be in front of my Mammoth, and I'd just have the same problem again.
But the feet plus... his feet fairly effectively neutralized the withering. I wasn't able to really capitalize on its offensive effects as much. The Mammoth was able to do considerable damage to the Nis Hunters and eventually the Satixus Raiders, as well as kill a Bane Cavalry. Because the Satixus Raider, I lost the Raider UA to a very unlikely shot from...
I mean, she was going to die. It was just, I had a random shot with an Extoller. It was like, well, I can attempt to roll high because the Extoller has nothing else to do.
Right.
And I ended up rolling boxcars to hit, and then she just evaporated.
So I kind of like felt...
Mini-feated Reavers are a pretty good answer to killing the...
Yep,
the Raider Captain.
The Reavers are really solid against Kriggs.
Yeah,
even against the Satixus Raiders.
It was just good.
If I would have had turn one, I think it would have been better because I would have had a better position on the field.
Yeah,
but,
that's usually the case. What was I going to say? Oh, so I ended up playing the list in a similar fashion as I do Epic Denegra. It was just kind of jam feet, continue to jam, and then in the back work on scenario until I got there. But she's not as good at it as Epic Denegra is. And this is not obviously an ideal matchup for my list since I'm coming into, this was more of a test of the list Colin was playing, but I think I got some good information and I like this list quite a bit. There are definitely things here that I like.
Yeah.
So, one thing I saw in watching the game, and I only watched it peripherally, but the Mammoth was more durable in that game than I expected.
Yep. That's because of the Kriya.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the Kriya wasn't in the list, I think he would have evaporated, because he would have actually parasited him when in this matchup. If he would have parasited, it's just minus one armor, so he's armor 19.
Yeah, and then the Withering is down to armor 17, so you can't just shoot him off.
Yeah.
Dice minus twos instead of straight dices from the Leviathan.
So it's 6 extra damage per turn.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
So what I wanted to kind of say about this list idea is I really love these guys know how I love Reavers with Mordekaar now. I have my list with Mordekaar is 20 Reavers, but
that might be too many.
No. You mean 10 many?
But yeah, I really like Reavers with them because Ghostwalk and just reviving CRA models is really, really good.
Solid.
And I've wanted to test the Mammoth with him forever, and I just never actually put it on the table. And after playing it, I really like it, just because there's the idea of a screening unit like the Annihilators that don't go away easily. And so I like the idea of the list. I want to find a way to get Marketh in. And also the Feral Geist was surprisingly good just for a one-point incorporeal model that could run into the opponent's zone.
Yeah, it's never bad to have a Feral Geist.
Does
Mordekaar do something with Void Spirits?
Yes, yeah, he gives them boosted melee attack rolls.
Against living models.
Right.
Which is good, especially against the Texas Raiders.
Yeah, if you had another point.
Yeah, but that
they also force an A-bomb check on the Satixus Raiders. So.
And command is a serious problem for this list.
That's the best game.
Like I said before, my only really point of feedback is take the Bane Cav out, put something else in.
Yep,
it's not the list for them.
So yeah, the points in this list are really tight. So I don't know exactly how to fit Mordekaar in, but
Marketh.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm doing that. But yeah, other than that, it's a good list, and I think it is good against... I think it's pretty good against Kriggs, and at least I think it's a game most every time.
I think it's going to be really interesting when we do the Scornisode with Josh and
and
Nick
you talk
and
about how great Mordekaar is.
I'll actually be able to intelligently at least talk about Mordekaar. And
doesn't Nick hate Mordekaar like he's a piece of crap?
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't think he's good in the Scorn.
Oh, that's why
I disagree with that so much.
That's why he's a bad Scorn player.
I'm definitely coming around to the opinion, which I didn't see originally, that he probably is the best anti-Kriggs caster in the faction.
Hexy's also really good.
Hexeris 1 and 2 both have game, but I now believe Mordekaar to be better.
I really like Mordekaar, especially with the because he can, makes one unit undead, one immune to spells, right?
Yep.
And then he, you could potentially take in Citrati with, what's his
Borkesh.
Just be like, suck it. My entire army says screw your spells.
Yeah. I mean, one unit can be targeted, but they're undead. So it's
right.
Mostly suck it, excarnate, which is the biggest spell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than Hellmouth. Hellmouth is also a pretty big one.
Yeah, but in that matchup, you could instead just, like, not cast Hollow and just be like...
Anyway, we're over time.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of...
Listbreaker!
Listbusters!
God dang!
I'm so bad.
I do have one thing I want to say.
Things
I have one thing I want to say to a special friend named Menoth John. I want to say a hearty hump day to you, sir. Goodbye.
Dang it.
We got him out of the Wednesday podcast again.
We need
How
to
does that happen every time?
We need to do it where we're just like, next Wednesday, 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 Listbusters!
Thanks for tuning in. This has been John.
Chad.
Crump.
Keith.
Colin.
Colin.
Keith. Colin.
And you also have Ayana.
Not fully boosted.
Not fully boosted.
All fully boosted for damage.
Right,
right.
You have to hit with the signs of importance fours.
That's not so bad if you're shooting heavies. Yes. You're very likely to hit.
It's a lot of eights.
It's a lot of eights.
It depends if you're hitting. There's a lot of Def 10 and Colossals out there. Also, we have... we'll talk about it in the list. But we have... Yeah, we also have Zephyr on Ayana and Holt. So you have Harm coming from downtown. So you have basically four boosted pound 19 shots from those two guys.
Is there a Turnian in the list? Because I can Ice Cage some of them.
Ooh.
Oh my god, it's getting better.
I'll drop the Marksman and...
You could drop the Outriders and put in two units of Eliminators to give you better presence in scenario, and then add the Journey.
Thread.
Outriders are
where,
so
like,
good, though.
Someone was just like...
I think I like dropping Kel Balok and...
Buffing the Waldo.
I think I like dropping Kel Balok and a Marksman more than I like.
And then Pagani comes in.
Yeah, that's
and he's just
reasonable.
Like,
Spell Ward.
He's like, that doesn't work. And I was just like, oh, man, we should occultate it. And Pagani's just like, sent me a text. He's like, nice.
What's that?
It's funny because it's doubly negative.
Yeah. All right, let's
do it. It works.
Let's
this
do an episode.
Nothing for two reasons.
You got to be kidding me.
Is this 138?
Yep. Also comes out on Wednesday.